Welcome to the Unscripted Podcast. I am your host, Aida, founder of Unlimited Brands in Lifestyle Clothing Line.
And I'm your co-host, Simone, a content creator and founder of Meal Prep Venues.
Every Thursday, we talk about something new, something fun, something practical or inspiring.
We like to keep it real, relatable, relevant, and above all, unscripted.
So turn up the volume on your drive to work or grab your glass of wine, sit back and enjoy the show. All right, folks, welcome back to another episode of the Unscripted Podcast. I have a special guest with us today, and that is Shanila Sattar. Did I say that right, Shanila?
You did. Good job.
Welcome to our show. We're so happy to have you here. It's always interesting for us to hear about people that have an incredible life story, and I feel like it fits well with what you have to share with our audience today. But before we dive go too deep into this, can you please share a bit about yourself?
Sure. We were just talking right before we hit record and we're like, this is where I live. This is where we're at. And we're like, oh, we should have recorded this. But it's like, I'll try to remember to fill everybody in. Hi, I'm Shanila Sattar. I'm the founder of the Healing Arts Academy and Flow Breathwork Facilitator Training. I'm a best-selling author of a book called Breathe. I host a top podcast in self-development called The Playground. And I am essentially a mentor for folks who are exploring in the healing arts.
Beautiful. Oh my gosh. I couldn't have said that better. That is why I let our guests introduce themselves. But oh my gosh, you wear so many hats, but they're all interconnected, it sounds like. And I mean, I love the word breathe. It's crazy how, I'll give you an example. When I go into yoga class, I'm doing the moves, you know, like stretching and all that. And then the instructor says, breathe. Don't forget to breathe. And then it's like an automatic thing that I do where I'm like truly breathing, right? So what we're doing now talking, that's not really the breathing that we're about to talk about, right?
I mean, it is and it isn't, because like if you're breathing, if you're being intentional about the way that you're breathing, then like essentially you're doing breathwork. And so for anybody who doesn't understand or like never heard the term breathwork, it's basically this umbrella term that means regulating the way that you breathe. So there's over 200 different styles of breathing. There's this way, that way, this duration, through your nose, through your breath, da, da, da. But all it just means is like, are you paying attention to the way that you're breathing? Because the way that you breathe does different things to your body. So certain types of breath helps you activate energy. Certain types help you sleep. Certain types impact your mood. Certain types cool your body down. Certain types heat your body. There's so many different things that do different things. So breathwork is an umbrella term. Is like all the ways that you can navigate the way that air is coming into your body and the way air is coming out. So when you say like, is that like what we're doing right now? It's like, essentially we are, because if you think about like for most people, we have a really poor awareness of the way that we're breathing. So mm-hmm. right now, like I'm talking, you're here, you know, we're listening. And like the people who are listening, if you just pay attention to the way that you're breathing, you're going to notice that more than likely you're doing something called thoracic breathing, which is that you're only breathing from your chest up. You're not taking deep breaths. And this is like a very natural thing. And it's not like, oh, you don't know how to breathe. Cause like, obviously you're alive. So you know how to breathe. So yeah. That's that. But essentially most of us are chest breathers. But if you look at a baby, or I met your cat, one of your cats earlier on screen, like if you look at animals or if you look at babies who are seemingly feeling safe and they're not like really essentially worried about anything, they're actually breathing from their belly. They're not breathing from their chest. They're breathing from their diaphragm in the belly. So if you have like children to, you know, like to experiment this on, you'll notice that they're not actually breathing in the same way, because their bodies are not essentially in survival mode. They know that their basic needs are taken care of. Like if they're happy, they'll scream. If they're sad, they'll scream. If they're hungry, they'll scream. they know how to get their basic needs met for the most part, like for like an average child, you know, discounting any adversities there. So for a lot of us, we're doing something called thoracic breathing, which essentially triggers our body into thinking that we're in survival mode, even when we're not. And so this is when we are going through day to day and we're always in anxiety and we're stressed and in our mind, we don't feel anxious. We don't think that we're anxious, but just the fact that we aren't breathing signals to our nervous system that we're somewhere in our survival mode. So our nervous system is basically a set of antennas in the body. It's nerves. Mm-hmm. And system is basically like a set of antenna. And it's the bare minimum description of the nervous system is like, it's basically just trying to detect whether or not you're safe. Emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, in all the different ways that you can account for safety, is deciding if it's safe or not. So when you meet somebody and you're just like, oh, I don't know about them, your body might naturally clench. It just like naturally holds its breath. Not because this person ever did anything to you or said anything to you. You're just like projecting that your body is going to be in this defense mode. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so we learned this from a pretty young age, where when, you know, as a baby, and then as maybe a 3-year-old, and as a 5-year, and then when we get older, that breath from the belly starts to change into the chest, because now we're clenching our stomach because everything is like a danger or a potential danger, or like, oh, this guy is going to bully me. This kid in my school is going to bully me, or the teacher is going to call on me, or I'm not going to get a good grade. And so all these like societal things contribute to the fact that we're not essentially breathing, and we're tricked into feeling like we're in survival when we don't want to be in survival. We want to be in thrival. Like, we want to thrive, right? We don't always want to be in this clenched state. So yes, when you pay attention to the fact that like, are you always clenched? Are you, you know, you're breathing obviously, but are you always clenched? Like the second that the email comes in, you're just like, you know, panic, like, and it puts you into this like hyper aroused state, or what we call in nervous system, it's either hyper aroused or hypo aroused, meaning that like either you go into overaction or you go into underaction. So overaction meaning like now you're going to panic, you're going to do all the neurotic, like you're going to try to fix the thing. It's like, it's okay. Like you can take 2 seconds to like go use the bathroom and take a, you know, like go pet your cat and like,
yeah,
you could do that, but your body doesn't understand that. Or you're on the opposite where you're just like, this email is too big. And it's like not a bad email. You know, it's just like, hey, can you send me this document? But your body says like, it panics in that way. So your body is consistently existing like something is happening to you, even when it's not. And it's a survival mechanism, because on some ends, like we have a survival mechanism from like survival of the fittest. Like we had to have a survival instinct in order to detect danger in the jungle or in food resources or in many different ways. We have to have, you know, some kind of survival instinct. Like you don't want to just be like, hey, everything is good. Like you need to, like, you still need to pay attention. But if you're always clenched, mm-hmm. it's like, you're always ready to fight,
right.
fight, flight, freeze. And then there's two other survival responses, which is like, and this is particular to women, they fawn or they create friendships that aren't necessarily healthy. So it's like, is that what we're talking about? Like we are, like it is, like there's breath work, but then there's like the simple act of breathing that is about taking your body out of survival mode.
Right. Gosh, I love everything that you just said. The one thing that stands out to me is really how we go about being aware that we're clenching when those moments, little moments happen in our day-to-day or in our lives. And essentially that's our reaction to those things, right? So how do we, through your work, how do you help people increase that awareness that would then lead them to maybe going into a deeper breathing where, you know, just like you said, like babies and animals where they, because they're not in that survival mode state, they're truly breathing. They are at peace. They are living well.
Yes.
So how do you teach people to become aware? And what are the techniques that maybe you share with your clients?
Yeah. I mean, I'll share with like the concept that you're talking about. And thanks for asking that, because the concept that you're talking about overarchingly is known as nervous system regulation. And so it's just a practice of being able to, like you said, like, well, if I don't know that I'm clenching, like how am I supposed to solve a problem that I don't even know I have, you know? And for a lot of us, it is because we grew up in some form of survival mode. And it's not because, and sometimes it is because like you have some kind of extreme trauma in your life or a past event that it's like, oh shit, like this really is why, like it makes sense why you're in survival mode. That is one pathway, but then there's also like everyday life that has put you into survival mode. So if like, if you didn't get attention from your parents, then you might have developed this, this need for like seeking validation from people, right? Or you push people off because you're just like, I don't need them, right? Like you're I can do it myself kind of attitude. Or if you're always rewarded by your achievements, you know, in school, and it's like, oh good, look at my daughter, look at my son who's like doing all these achievements. There's nothing like wrong with that. But if that's how you got your validation, you also learn to survive by behaving in a certain way, right? And so there is like, yes, trauma is like a huge like underlying, but sometimes it's like not trauma. It's just like the way that you grew up that has made you behave and think and act the way that you do, right? So the first thing I would say, and maybe this is a framework that whoever's like listening to this, you can write it down, and I call it IDS, okay? And so for me, this is like the identification of something that's not working in your life. So you're not going to start and come into like, you know, breath work or any kind of work and usually be like, oh, I need this breathing technique. You know, like you don't know about a breathing technique. Like you don't know what to ask me for. You know what I mean? It's like you might have heard of something, you know, saw it on social media because, you know, there's like so much, so many resources and things like that are there. You're not coming in knowing that you need a breathing technique or you need to regulate your nervous system. This is a very like niched word, you know, like even just the concept of a nervous system, right? But
Right.
you know that, like, hey, your relationships don't work, or you feel like you're doing everything yourself and nobody's ever helping you, you know, or you know that, like, your friendships are always with women who are not supportive and it's always like competitive. You notice that, right? Like, it's just the first step is to like notice something in your life that's like, this is not working. It's just not working, you know? And it doesn't have to be like the worst thing in the world. And again, like sometimes it does take us to experience a really terrible thing in order for us to be like, oh, I need to change this, you know? And sometimes that's the pathway. But sometimes it's just like everyday stuff. Like I'm always anxious when I open my email, or I'm always, you know, I always feel like, you know, social events make me very, you know, uncomfortable because everybody's talking about their achievements. And I feel like I have to, you know, talk about my achievements and da, da, da. If you just noticed it, you did step one.
So
Like
you're
you
looking for a pattern.
a pattern. Yeah. Whether it's a pattern of thought, it's a pattern of behavior, or a pattern of feeling, you know, like that, all of these things are information. These are data points. It's like, okay, like I always feel insecure, you know? It's like I always feel okay, so maybe that feeling of insecurity is why you're attracting friends in your life that contribute to you feeling more of that, or you attract partners into your life that is contributing you to be codependent on with them, right? Because they give you the validation. So now, because you're insecure and they tell you that you're beautiful, you're this and that, it's like, yeah, your partner should tell you all of that stuff, but it can't be only from them. Like there has to be this internal part too. So the second part of that, so once you've like identified, and you don't need to like be like, oh, this is the exact thing. You're just like, generally, this is the thing. And so what happens when you identify something is that you feel a little shame about it, right? Like you feel like, I don't want to admit that I'm insecure because I'm a bad bitch, you know, and like I've been shouting my affirmations in the mirror and like, you know, like I'm hot and this and that, but you can still be insecure as shit, you know, on the inside. Like all of that doesn't reflect like the feelings on the inside. So the second part of that is to de-shame. It's to de-shame your process of like, okay, well, am I ashamed that this behavior, like maybe I'm insecure because my parents never paid attention. And that makes me feel bad because I don't hate my parents and I don't have this like nasty narrative about my parents, or I don't have this like bad thing that they did. But so I feel ashamed, or I feel guilty, or I feel like I have some kind of emotion attached to saying that this insecurity is actually from that, right? And that becomes like a really big part of the transformation journey, because now you're being real with yourself. Now you're getting into, you know, in different languages, in different words, we sometimes call it shadow work, we call it integration work, we call it a lot of different things. But essentially, basically, you're trying to acknowledge that you feel the way that you feel. And maybe you feel angry. You're just like, I wouldn't be with these stupid partners if like my so-and-so paid more attention to me, or they did this and that to me, or her friends did these and my friends don't do that. And so there might be this like resentment, anger, kind of like a magnified emotion that comes with whatever you just realized. So then the third process, so it's IDF. So it's identify, de-shame. And then the last part is not to force yourself to change something. It's to flow through the changes. Because the thing that your nervous system needs is consistency, and it needs to be able to maintain that consistency. So think about any kind of habit that you've ever had, and you're just like, oh, I'm going to go ham on this for, you know, I'm going to do this, say for exercise, you're just like, I'm going to go ham on this. And, you know, you overdo it. So if you overdo it, then it's not sustainable. You know, so maybe going twice a day to the gym is not a sustainable activity for you. Like from 0 to 2 times a day is a lot, right? And so like set a realistic thing to say like, okay, well, 2 times a day would be great if I could build up that resiliency and the motivation and the mindset and the body memory to do that. But maybe right now I can commit 2 times a week, right? So I'm not forcing myself, and then I'm going to be mad at myself if I didn't go one of these days. And then out of that shame, then I'm not going to go. Like that's how unsustainable patterns are made. That's also how burnout happens for anything that we just do too much, too fast, too soon without having the energetics in the body.
Yes. Oof. Girl, you've said a lot of incredible things just right now. And I think like this might be the first time that I hear the word de-shame, but it makes complete sense, right? Because I think it's very easy for us to have this perfectionist idea of how we should be, what we should do. And this is all really, I think it stems from societal beliefs that we've internalized through TV, cultural things around us, and how we grew up, and so many other factors that can play into how we internalize certain ways that we should be and do things in life. And so because we have this perfectionist idea, it's very easy to shame ourselves, right? Because that's how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be perfect. We're supposed to say the right things. We're supposed to be this, this, and that. And then you realize that you're not all those things. And I think with de-shaming, it's just realizing that we're not perfect. We're human beings. And it's okay to feel those things. It's okay to sit with those feelings and really engage with that, right? It's like the more you know yourself, the better you can really improve upon, become better, right? If that's really the goal that you're looking for. And so I love that. And I think once we do come to that realization that we're not perfect and that it's okay to be imperfect, it's easier to throw through the change, because then you become more welcome to it, because then you're not resisting that change that comes with you getting outside of your comfort zone, right? Feeling things that you didn't think that you felt before. So I absolutely love that. I think like one of the things that I wonder through your process, as you help people work through the nervous system regulation, right? Because then that also, just to quickly recap, you said identify the patterns, right? To de-shame your process, right? And three, flow through the change. Do you think that process of regulating yourself to welcome change, how do you think there's a time frame? Or is it a thing that just comes with time? Like how would you explain that to someone that's telling you they don't want to feel a certain way anymore? How does that work with you? With
Yeah,
your
that's a great question. And especially and when you were saying like, oh, perfectionism, like I'm currently running like a perfectionism mastermind. I'm also like a former perfectionism researcher. So I was like, yes. I was like checking off for like I was really feeling you on everything that you're saying there. But like perfectionism has a lot to do with the way the nervous system regulates too. And perfectionism, there's four archetypes that I specifically work with that either puts you into the hyper arousal, basically means like if this is the middle ground, this is like the range where we want to be. And in different language, it's known as the window of tolerance, it's known as equilibrium, it's known as the flow state, it's known as Zen. If when we're outside of that and we're overdoing, this is the hyper aroused state. So this is the overdoers. These are the burnout folks. These are the people who are going to, have 30 projects, the overachievers, but then they also crash. Then they experience a crash. And then you have the hypo aroused folks who are more on the procrastination to imposter syndrome pipeline. Okay. And you can fluctuate for different topics. You might be like, oh, I feel like very up here for this particular thing in my life, and then very down here for this other particular thing in my life. So it's not like you're just one or the other, but it's very apparent like where you fall when we're looking at the perfectionism scale in terms of the way that the body is regulating. So when you ask about a timeline, it's like you could decide today that you can, right? Like, and that is a quantum decision. That is also a quantum leap. It's a quantum jump. It's also a very like decisive energetic decision that your body has the ability to make, right? And so we can see this on like, for example, I mean, addiction is a great example, even though it's like not necessarily like the most parallel thing. But if we think about like behaviors as addiction, you could say like tomorrow you quit. Like tomorrow, there's people like literally they qu quit tomorrow. And then there's people who need to wean off, and then they do not return to the thing again. And then there's people who need to go through that cycle a few times. So if it to learn the lesson, right? Like to say like, okay. So the thing about the IDF that I said before, identify, de-shame, and flow, it's not a linear process. It's actually a circle, because we might find that when we said it was insecurity, when we go through that, we actually found something even deeper than that, right? Like maybe there was like a memory or something that was more pertinent that needed to be worked through in this cycle. So it really is an individual thing, but essentially what breath work does is it's the cheater's way to get you into that quantum. And so it is basically working with the subconscious mind instead of the mind that is always trying to make reason of like why you do that. So you're like, oh yeah, my dad didn't do this and this person wasn't here. Da, da, da. That's the story that we told to justify the way that we behave. Right. And you think you're so smart and you're so analytical and you're just like really good at like understanding yourself. But the mind can only heal through what the mind can conceive. The rest of it happens in the physical body. So that's where breath work comes into play. And the specific style of breath work that I train my students in, meaning they come to my school to become breath work facilitators, is a movement-based, energy science-based breath work. So we're allowing the physical body, we're moving, we're shaking, we're like twerking, we're on our knees, we're on our hands, like there is sweat, there's all this body somatic situation that's happening, because real healing that is sustainable happens psychosomatically. Psycho meaning psyche, mind, and somatic meaning body. So psycho, the mind body connections, the mind and body need to talk to each other in order for that decision to stick. So most of the time when decisions don't stick is because like we're doing all the mindset work. So we know like, yes, I gotta go here. Like, and let's use exercise as an example again. It's like, yeah, I gotta get fit. I gotta get da, 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 da. Like linearly, logically, that makes sense. Like 2 times a day to the gym. Like, okay, I guess, like up here it makes, but your body disagrees. You
Yes.
know, like your body says like, No, like we need to rest. Like we need to, do a different activity. And maybe like this particular type of movement is not for me. I thrive in like maybe dance class, or I thrive in, martial arts, or I thrive in like weightlifting or this and that. Like everybody has their thing. And so if we're trying to say like force yourself to be in this one regime or this one activity that, worked for someone else, it's not reasonable to say that it's going to work for everybody. So in this flow state, in this flow breath work, what you're doing is you're allowing your body's wisdom to come talk to you. So I'm not telling you like, oh, you're going to see this and you're going to have this awareness. You're going back into the past. You're going into a memory that I'm not elicitating. Your subconscious body, which is essentially your subconscious, is anything that is underneath your awareness, right? So anything that you're conscious of or aware of is like the conscious mind. Anything that is subconscious is underneath your consciousness. So you're not aware that you're functioning from like a little wound from your childhood, and you're functioning from the fact that Chad from middle school like called you this and that. And so now your entire personality since then has been based off of this like little 13-year-old boy's validation, and you're like in your 30s and you're in your 40s, and it's like you're still functioning from a place of like, what is Chan gonna say? It's like, aren't they gonna like my Instagram? Are they gonna name me? It's like, are you seriously? You're like a grown person with this worry, but your subconscious programming is not grown. Your subconscious programming is a child, And so like I can't tell you that it was that moment in eighth grade. You are going to go back into that memory because as you're breathing, and this is a three-part breath where you're going into it, and part of this breath comes from something called Dirgha breathing, Dirga, from yogic traditions and Vedic traditions. And so it's an ancient practice that many, many cultures have used. And indigenous folks from around the world have also used some format, like not this exact format, but some form of like deep, sustained breathing practice that gets you into this altered state of mind. So when earlier I said, oh, breath work is this umbrella term. Like, yeah, there's breathing techniques for rest and relaxation and like da, 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 da. And I write about these techniques in my book, Breathe. But then there's also this technique that is like actually for true trauma healing that you should actually do with a facilitator. Like you should be doing this with somebody who's trained to hold space for all the psychosomatic stuff that comes up when you're doing a practice like that.
Oof. Girl, I feel like there's gonna need we're gonna need to do a part two, because there are certain specific things that you've said that I think, I mean, Simone will enjoy being part of this conversation. So if you're up for it, we'll have to talk about this offline. But I think it's I think a lot of people will really want to dive more into the topics that we talked about today. The different acronyms that you, for example, shared, and the different methods and the different insights shared today. So I guess if somebody wanted to work with you, they loved our chat so much and they loved your personality and all the things that you've said, because you said all the right things. I was nodding here. People can't see me, but I was nodding a lot here. And in some parts, I recognize myself on the perfectionism part. How do people work with you?
Yeah, the best way to get in contact is to head to my website, www.alwaysplay.org. And that's where you can decide like what is your, it's player's pick. Like, do you want to come breathe? Do you want to come train? Do you want to become a certified breathwork facilitator? Do you want to explore working through your nervous system? There's a lot of different options there, but the best way is to head to the website, alwaysplay.org.
Very good. And how can they find you on socials?
Socials at shanila.sattar. And if you head to the website, you'll see all our links in there as well.
Wonderful. Well, folks, here you have it. I mean, this was Shanila. What I'm gonna do is add within the show notes all the ways that we can find Shanila. And maybe, down the line, we can even do a live, and maybe that way we can connect with more people and get more questions and, engage with Shanila a little bit. So, Shanila, I can't thank you enough for being on the
Thank you for having
show.
me.
This was such a great conversation. Like, I'm like,
Yes.
speechless. There were parts I was like, oh my gosh, this is totally me. So I'm going to be touching base with you offline, you know,
Perfect. Need
some coaching. I don't know. But girl, you spoke to me. So thank you again for your time.
Of course.
And I guess we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day. We really hope you enjoyed today's show. We release new episodes every Thursday, so make sure to subscribe to the show and never miss an episode. You can find us on all the major platforms. While you're at it, help us spread the word. Tell a friend and leave us a rating on iTunes. Oh, and let's be Instagram besties too. Follow us at _theunscriptedpodcast and let's connect. Until next time.